Let us pray. Father, we thank you for being a God who is so rich in mercy and love. You know, as we read about bad nations like Edom or bad people like Pharisees, we like to point our fingers at them. Forgive us for being blind to our own faults. Forgive us for being blind to the huge log that's in front of our eyes. And yet, you are patient with us. You forgive us when we confess. So help us remember that we are your people and we are all in this together. We shouldn't be pointing fingers at each other, but we should be building each other up in love. Give us the courage to exhort each other every day, to kill sin and to grow in holiness together. Help us remember that we are saved to display your glory and the glory of your kingdom. And we do that as one people, not by living selfishly in our own ways. So Father, I pray that you will open the eyes of our heart to see your glory. Help us truly know what it really means to be your people. And help us grow in holiness and righteousness for your name's sake. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hi, good morning everyone. The kids can stay today. Yay! Alright, so today we'll be continuing our series on biblical doctrine. And our topic today is God our Rescuer. Okay, for the grown-up title is Freedom in Christ. Okay. So when we talk about rescuers, straight away we think of someone coming in to rescue another person in a bad situation, right? So, like for the kids, when you watch your cartoons, when does your superhero come in? When someone is in a bad situation, right? So, I've been doing some research, and when you watch Miraculous Ladybug, when does she come out? She comes out when the bad guy comes out, right? Or for the so-called older kids among us, when does Spider-Man come out? Spider-Man comes out when the bad guy comes to destroy the city, right? Okay, so besides Spider-Man, we have Fireman. So when does the Fireman come out to the rescue? When the building is on fire, right? Not when you're playing in the beach. So, rescuers only come when people are in a bad situation. So before we talk about God our Rescuer, we need to know why we are being rescued in the first place, right? We're sitting here in church, there's no bad guys coming to destroy the church. The church is not on fire, at least last I checked. So, we want to talk about what bad thing we are in now, what bad situation we are in now, that we need to be rescued. So, God says that we need to be rescued from sin and death. Sin came into the world because Adam disobeyed God. And with sin, death also came. We see that in Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. So the thing is, because of sin coming to the world, there is death. And because Adam's sin affected the whole world, all of us, all men, are also sinners. So all men die because of sin and death. And we all learned before that sin is refusing to obey God. Right? You just want to do your own thing. You don't want to hear anything from God. That's why we still see people physically and spiritually dying. Even after Adam has long died, you know, we always like to think that it's Adam's problem, it's not my problem. But no, this is our problem. Because we are affected by sin and death. Okay, we know what is sin, but what does the Bible say death is? Death is being forever separated from everything that is good. So when we talk about death, we like to talk about physical death. But there are two aspects of death. There's physical death and there's spiritual death. So for spiritual death, we all know that is when your heart stops beating, you stop breathing and you stop moving. You're just lying down there on the floor, right? When somebody dies, it means that he is not considered part of this world. He's separated from this world, so you cannot enjoy your very good food and you cannot enjoy playing with your toys again. But physical death only shows us one part of what death truly is. We also talk about spiritual death. So spiritual death means a separation from God and His blessings. Because God is holy, God and sin must be set apart. So spiritual death means that a person cannot talk to God face to face and have a very personal relationship with God, and he will not be able to enjoy God's blessings. That is spiritual death. So because of Adam's sin, we have all been affected by sin and death. So we all still refuse to obey God, and we are all still separated from God and His blessings, and at the end of this life, we will be separated from this world. That's why God says all of us need to be rescued from sin and death. But the thing is, what makes sin and death so bad that God says we need to be rescued from it, right? What makes sin and death a bad situation that God needs to become a rescuer for us? So, sin is so bad because, firstly, we bear the guilt and punishment for sin. Secondly, it's bad because we are controlled by the power of sin. And thirdly, it's because we are hopeless. We have no hope because of sin. So first, sin is so bad because we bear the guilt and punishment of sin. So imagine, you're at a restaurant and you eat all the nice food over there. You finish, your tummy is very full already. You just get up and walk away without paying. So when you get up and walk away without paying, you are guilty. You bear the guilt of stealing food because you owe the restaurant owner money for the food. So, when you say you're guilty, it means that you did something wrong to someone else, and you owe that person some form of a payback for the wrong thing that you did. So when God says that you bear the guilt of sin, it means that you're guilty of disobeying God, because disobeying God is wrong. And because you're guilty of disobeying God, you owe God for disobeying Him. And God says, you can only pay back what you owe Him by living a perfectly sinless life according to God's law. But the thing is, we have seen earlier that all men have sinned. We cannot live a perfectly sinless life. So what happens if we can't pay God back for what we owe? We will be punished, right? Punishment comes when we cannot give someone something that we owe. So imagine the restaurant owner, he realized you didn't pay for the bill, and he runs after you, and then he catches you. And then you tell him, sorry, I don't have any money to pay you. What can he do? He has the right to punish you. He'll either call the police, or he'll force you to wash the dishes until he's happy, right? So that is punishment. So because we cannot give God that sinless life that we owe Him, then God has the right to punish us. He punishes us with death, spiritual and physical death. And in the Bible, God calls punishment for sin the wrath of God, or He calls it the curse of God, the curse of the law. So remember that, because that will come up later. Okay? So when we are under sin and death, we bear the guilt of disobeying God, and we are under punishment for our own sin. That's what makes sin so bad. Okay, secondly, sin is very bad because we are controlled by the power of sin. In Ephesians 2 verse 1 it says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. And here he's talking about spiritual death. Okay? We all refused to obey God before. We used to live in our sin and follow everything in the world. And our master, our commander, was the devil. We did whatever he told us to do. And everything he tells us to do is disobedient to God. So the problem is, we were spiritually dead. We could not get out of our disobedience on our own. It's like if you see a dead person lying in a coffin, can he undead himself? Can he think to himself, oh no, I'm dead, I need to come alive again? No, he can't do that. Why? His brain is not working. He can't even imagine what it means to be alive. And even if he could, he cannot bring himself back to life. Right? He has no way of doing anything about being dead. So in the same way, when we are spiritually dead, we cannot get out of our sin on our own. Because we cannot imagine what it means to be spiritually alive to God and obey God according to how God wants us to obey Him. So we continue disobeying God because we follow what the devil tells us. So when we are under sin, we are spiritually dead, sin controls us, whether we like it or not. And we continue disobeying God. That's what makes sin so bad. That puts us in a bad situation. And thirdly, sin is so bad because we are hopeless because of sin. When we are under sin and death, we have no hope because we end up being destroyed forever. That's the punishment for sin at the end of the day. And we see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7-9. So when the Lord Jesus appears again, that's when he comes again to bring judgment on all those who refuse to obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. What happens to them? They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and his glorious power. So Jesus will come again and he will judge and punish those who still refuse to obey God. And the punishment is being destroyed forever. But what does eternal destruction look like? Is it like someone drops a bomb and it's all done? No, it's not a bomb. Imagine someone locked you up in an empty room, a dark empty room, and then he threw away the keys and he just walked away. So you're stuck in that room forever. And even when you scream and shout and you bang, 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 bang on the door, no one will listen to you, no one will come to your rescue. And then, the thing is, you'll be left hungry and thirsty. No one's going to give you any food. As you get more hungry, you get more thirsty. And the thing is, you cannot die. You'll be hungry and thirsty for the rest of your life. So you take that kind of suffering, you take that kind of loneliness in the empty room, and you multiply it by infinity. That is what eternal destruction is like. Eternal destruction is that forever separation from the Lord and his glorious power. So when we are under sin and death, we have no hope at all. We can only look forward to destruction forever, and there's no hope of getting out because we are stuck in being controlled by sin. And we still bear the guilt of sin. And this is what makes sin so bad for us. So these are the reasons why sin and death is so bad. Because we are all born with the guilt and punishment for our sin. We are all born controlled by sin's power, and there's no way out. And we have no hope of being saved from eternal punishment for our sins. So this is the bad situation that we have to be rescued from. And if God just stood by and did nothing and just left us to ourselves, we really have no hope of being saved. And that's why we need to be rescued. So here's where we start talking about God rescuing us. God doesn't want to leave his people in this kind of bad situation. He wants to rescue the people that he has chosen for himself. But since we cannot rescue ourselves, God had to do something to rescue us. And what did God do? He sent Jesus to rescue us. But when Jesus rescued us, what does it really mean? It means that Jesus rescued us from a bad master to serve a good master. So we are being given freedom from one bad master, sin, so that he can serve another good master, who is God. And we see that in Romans 6. Verse 20-21, we say that we were once slaves to sin. And then when we were slaves to sin, what's the end result of that? When sin was our master, the end result is death. Hopeless and permanent separation from God. And sin is that kind of master. It's a bad master who doesn't care about us and leads us to death. But then we go on to look at verse 22. But now that you have been set free from the power of sin and become slaves of God, its end is eternal life. So when God rescues us through Jesus, he sets us free from the power of sin, and we become slaves of God. God becomes our master. So this means that we don't have to obey sin anymore, because God controls our lives. And what's the result of that? The result is eternal life. Permanent, close relationship with God, and life forever. So we know that God is a good master. He cares for us, he wants our good, and he wants to lead us to eternal life. So when God rescues us through Jesus Christ, he's freeing us from our original master, our original bad master, sin, to come under a new good master, who is God. But when God is our master, it means that we serve God according to how God wants us to serve Him. So, God did not rescue us so that we can go back and do our own things. We were saved from our sinful self to serve God as our new master. This also means that because God is our master, we answer to Him for everything we do or we think. We can't say that, since Jesus has rescued us from sin, I can go back to do bad things because He's going to rescue me anyway. We can't say that because we are under a new master. So let's look at why is God such a good master. So firstly, because He rescued us from the guilt and punishment for sin. He rescued us from the power of sin, and He rescued us from the hopelessness of sin through Jesus Christ. So let's look at the first one. We are rescued from the guilt and punishment of sin. As sinners, as unbelievers, we were guilty, and we are supposed to be punished for our own sin. But Jesus gave us freedom from our guilt. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So for our sake, God made the sinless Jesus Christ pay for our sins and take the responsibility for our sins, so that God can give us Jesus' righteousness. When Jesus took the responsibility for paying for our sins, it means that we are no longer guilty when God looks at us. This is what it means by being made right with God through Christ. But God didn't just take away our guilt, He also took away our punishment. He took away our punishment for our sin by getting Jesus to die on the cross in our place. We see that in Galatians 3:13. Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So remember, we are saying that curse is another way of saying punishment from God. So when Jesus died on the cross, He took all our punishment for our sins. So it's like when we are very dirty, right? And that dirt, if it stays on us, is going to hurt us. Jesus is like the cloth that wipes away that dirt from us. We are clean from that dirt, that punishment, but Jesus takes on that punishment. And the thing is, Jesus was innocent, but He willingly took on the punishment for us. So, because Jesus was destroyed and punished for our sins, and then He came back to life, He could give us His righteousness. So God is a good master because He wants to take away all our guilt and punishment for our sin. Secondly, God is a good master because He rescued us from the power of sin. So through Jesus Christ, God gives us spiritual life. So when God rescues us from the responsibility of paying for our sin, the guilt and the punishment of sin, He didn't just rescue us and leave us alone so that we can go back to become slaves of sin again. No. When God frees us from sin, He also frees us from the power of sin. So remember, we were fully controlled by sin, we refused to obey God, and we were spiritually dead, right? But in Ephesians 2:4-5, God says that He's so rich in mercy and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life. So we were all born spiritually dead, but because God was so merciful and He loved us, He gave us life when Jesus came back to life. So God rescued us from spiritual death by making us spiritually alive because of Jesus. Okay, but what does it mean to have spiritual life? Spiritual life means that you are alive to God and you are dead to sin. So we see that in Romans 6:11. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. So spiritual life is being dead to sin. It means that we are permanently separated from the control of sin. We have nothing to do with sin anymore. Sin has nothing to do with us. We are dead to it. Right? But spiritual life also means being alive to God. It means having a close relationship to God and being able to at least desire to want to obey God with our hearts. So because we are permanently separated from sin, it also means that sin will have no control over our lives. We may not live perfect lives and perfect sinless lives now, but it doesn't have a control. We can choose whether we want to obey God or obey sin in Christ. And God has changed our desires to want to please God and not please our own wrongful desires. So, God is a good master because He wants to rescue us from the power and control of sin by giving us life so that we can obey God. Okay, thirdly, God is good because He rescued us from the hopelessness of sin. When Jesus rescued us, He also rescues us from the hopelessness of being eternally destroyed for our sins. Remember, as sinners, we were destined for eternal destruction, right? Being locked up in that room forever. But Jesus rescued us from that eternal destruction. Can we see that in Romans 3, 24 to 25? Jesus Christ is the one whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. So propitiation is a big word. I think people have seen it before. But what does it really mean? Propitiation really means it's kind of like an offering to turn away God's wrath. Or God's wrath is also known as God's punishment. Okay? So that's propitiation. God put Jesus Christ forward as an offering to turn away His own wrath on sin, His own punishment on sin. And He did that through Jesus Christ's blood. So, remember, you're eating at the restaurant and you didn't pay up, and the guy asked you to wash dishes? Imagine someone else comes along and he says to the restaurant owner, "Don't worry, I'll pay for his food." That is propitiation. When a person pays for the food, it's an offering to the restaurant owner to turn away his punishment on you. That is propitiation. So the good news is that we don't have to look forward to eternal destruction anymore as Christians, as people of God. Since we have no punishment to look forward to, then what can we look forward to as Christians, right? We can look forward to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, God gives us eternal life. And I think a lot of us are familiar with this verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, shall not be destroyed, but have eternal life. As Christians, we can look forward to eternal life when Jesus comes again. So it doesn't only mean that we live forever. It's not just physical life, but it's spiritual life as well. It means that we can enjoy a close relationship with God. So as believers, we can look forward to eternal physical and spiritual life, just like Adam and Eve did before they fell into sin. So God is a good master because He takes away our hopelessness by giving us hope of eternal life. Okay, so to summarize, God is a good master because He rescues us from the guilt and punishment of our sin. He rescues us from the control of the power of sin so that we can choose to obey Him. And He rescues us from the hopelessness of sin by giving us hope in eternal life. Okay, so the thing is, if God has done all these amazing things, right, to free us from sin, He did. He freed us from the guilt and punishment for sin. He freed us from the power of sin and the hopelessness of sin. Then the question is, why isn't everybody in the world living free from sin and obeying God as their master now? So, something else needs to happen, right, for people to be rescued from sin. It's not an automatic process. When Jesus died, poof, everybody start obeying God. Okay? So, two things need to happen for a person to be rescued from sin. Firstly, God's rescue comes through grace and faith. And we see that in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So firstly, our rescue comes by grace. Grace is a gift you don't deserve, but God still gives it. Right? So it's not like we have to pass an exam and score full marks for it before we can earn the right to be rescued by God. Anyway, we couldn't have passed the exam. So that was hopeless. So God rescues us because He chooses who He wants to save. It's a gift. And He chooses according to His wisdom. So because God doesn't choose according to how good we are, salvation is a gift, it's a present that we cannot earn or we cannot buy. You cannot tell someone, I'm going to work hard so that you give me a Christmas present that I want. Then it's not a present, it's something that you earn. So God gives salvation as a free gift, and our rescue comes by God's grace. And secondly, our rescue comes through faith. So faith is truly and deeply believing that something is true, and you live your life according to it. So when you have faith in God, it's believing that God has rescued you from sin, and He is now your master. He's the one that decides everything that you do, everything that you think, and everything that you feel. It's also believing that God is a good master, that He looks out for the good of His slaves. But faith is not just about what you know in your head. It's about how you live your life according to what you know in your head. So for example, you might know this yucky medicine is good for you, right? But if you don't take the medicine knowing that it's good for you, that's not having faith in the medicine. Having faith in the medicine means you know that it's good, and you follow that knowledge by eating the medicine even though it's yucky, right? So in the same way, we may know God is our master, but if we live our lives not wanting to obey God, we just want to do our own thing, as if God doesn't have the right to decide on how we live our lives, then that's not having faith in God. Having faith in God means you know that God is your master, and He's a good master, and we follow what He says. So for example, when God says, love Him with all your heart, mind and strength, we do it. When He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, we do it. But then He also says to parents to instruct and discipline children to live in God's ways, and parents do it. When God says that husbands are to love their wives, just like Jesus loved the church, and wives are to submit and respect their husbands in everything, we do it. And when God says that we are to pray for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, and for the Holy Spirit to support us so that we can obey God, we pray. Faith is not something that you just know. It's something that you live out. So we may not live perfectly sinless lives, right? That I mentioned before. But our desire is to please God and not please our own desires. And we can choose to obey God when previously we were spiritually dead. We couldn't choose at all. So to sum up, what really needs to happen for people to be rescued from sin? First, you need to be given God's grace. Right, it's God's gift of salvation to you. You can't earn it or buy it. And secondly, we need to respond in faith, believing that God is now your master. He decides how you live, how you think, how you feel. Okay? So the thing is, we can't do anything about God's grace, right? But what we can do is how we respond in faith. You can truly believe that God is your master, and you can let Him tell you how to live your life. So for those of us here who know God, who God is, we learn about God week after week, Sunday school after Sunday school, but you don't let Him be your master. You don't let Him decide how to live your life. Now is the time that you can respond in faith. You can let Him rescue you from being dead in sin. You don't have to say, oh no, I have no choice, I have to do this, I have to sin. No. God says that He will rescue you. And you don't have to wait to be good enough, or you don't have to wait to be ready to be rescued, because God is always ready to rescue you from sin. True faith. And for those here who live as God is our master, then let us remember, what are these things that He has rescued us from through Jesus Christ? He rescued us from the ugliness and the evilness of sin and death. And He graciously gave us eternal life and a new close relationship with Himself. And this should lead us to worship Him more. So let us all remember that God is our ultimate rescuer from sin and death, and He is our best good master. He sent Jesus to rescue us from a bad master and serve Himself, the good master, God.